With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Everyone, again, it's Adam from Rucafot 24 with my, crikey, it's my 19th stop off now, my Welcome to Scotland series. I've had 18 great experiences so far. I haven't got another word for it, but I'm looking forward to this one tonight, especially. We've come to Motherwell, and it's a great time to come to Motherwell as well after the back of a really good result at the weekend against Rangers and the new manager coming in, and a lot of good new beginnings, hopefully, for the club. And I've got the guys tonight from MFC podcast, Andy Ross, Scott McClure, and Andy P. I've got in front of me. I'm sorry, Andy. But good evening, gents, first of all. How are you doing?
We're good, thanks. Cheers.
Cheers. Very good. Great to have you here with us tonight. But before we get started, though, first of all, as always, just a big shout out to Stell at Shoot the Defence. If I wasn't able, if it wasn't for you, Stell, we wouldn't be able to put this podcast series out there. So thank you for all your hard work behind the scenes. Well, Andy, before we get started tonight, as the host of the podcast, could you and as a fellow podcaster, how did you all get started with the podcast? How long has it been running? And why did you decide to get it going in the first place?
Well, the podcast has been going for nearly, this is the seventh year of the podcast now. So we hit 250 episodes last week. And it didn't really mark that in any sort of special way or anything like that. It was just more a case of a demonstration of how long it's been on. Now I actually did stop for a while. I went over and hosted Motherwell's official podcast for a wee bit, which was really good. It was a great experience for myself, and great to record at Fir Park and meet some really interesting people. But as the pandemic kicked in last year, I felt there was a necessity to bring back a bit more of a fan say, and we did that through myself, Scott and Andy, just chewing the fat really and just diverting our minds away from the madness that was going on in the world at that time. And that involved things like 15 podcasts in a fortnight with a host of former players. It was a really good time to be involved with podcasts, the start of the pandemic. And that sounds a bit crass to say, but it was the fact that everyone else was in exactly the same boat, whether you'd be a footballer, club owner, everyone was stuck in the house. Everyone had a lot of time in their hands. And we kind of benefited from that and able to get in contact with people as far out as Henrik Ayama, who was playing in Estonia at the time. So that was an enjoyable part of the initial part of lockdown. And we've just continued to kick on since then. It's something that I regard as a big social thing as well now. It's something I look forward to and something we've maybe been deprived of during these recent times, being able to meet up and talk about a team that we all love so much. That's the one thing that we've all got in common amongst the guys that do the podcast, is we all adore Motherwell Football Club. Do we have different opinions? Very much so. But I think the ultimate objective is just success on the park for and off the park, of course, for Motherwell Football Club.
And this, it's been one of the great things for me whilst I've been talking to various clubs. It does feel like, you know, as you said, as strange or as crass as it might seem to some people, one of the big sort of positives for me is the way sort of the football communities, Scotland being a real quality example of it, the way the football communities have come together over the last 12 months in particular. Do you think, I'm Andy P, I'll ask you, and do you agree with me? And do you feel that, you know, sort of the Motherwell footballing community has bonded a lot more during the COVID times?
No, you're absolutely right. There's numerous examples across Scottish football of kind of fans, groups, societies, charities that are kind of born of supporters' trusts that have stepped up. I know there's a few in Lanarkshire as well, you know, not even confined to Motherwell in that regard. But, you know, certainly like the, you know, Motherwell had the kind of Motherwell FC versus COVID fundraiser. I think it was a five-figure sum was kind of raised between two or three different charities. And I think, you know, Andy even had a go at kind of setting something up as well for a local food bank, if I remember rightly, not so long ago as well. So there's certainly been, you know, a lot of people have stepped up to help in the community, and that kind of fits Motherwell's kind of ethos really as a football club. There's been so much done in the kind of past decade or so. Obviously, we've moved towards a kind of fan-owned club, and that kind of thought that, you know, it's cheesy almost, but you see the kind of slogan bandied about more than a club. Well, we are actually more than a club. You know, there's so many thousands of people in normal sort of circumstances that would come through the doors of our park for various initiatives, everything from mini steel kids playing football, two-year-olds to kind of newborn children, you know, parents getting in for various classes, educational classes that are run in there, you know, everything right the way through, weight loss programs, you know, there's thousands and thousands of people come through the door for things beyond what people would normally consider, you know, the primary role of a football club is. So I very, very much agree with your kind of view that, you know, there's a lot of initiatives have taken place to try and help the wider community at Fir Park, Motherwell and Lanarkshire and beyond.
That's good to hear. I've got a podcast coming out in the not too distant future purely about this. We've got some people from FIFA coming on, and we're very eager to look at Scotland in particular as a real positive role model for what's going on there. But Scott, obviously Andy mentioned there about Lanarkshire, but we've got people who perhaps don't know where Lanarkshire is, first of all. Just for those who come from a bit further afield than the UK, where exactly is Motherwell in relation to, you know, elsewhere in Scotland? And who are your big rivals when we're talking about it a bit later on? Which sort of clubs do you have the best rivalry with?
Well, Lanarkshire is really quite central between the two major cities in Scotland. It's 15 miles from Glasgow and maybe about 30 miles from Edinburgh. So we're right in the centre. I mean, you're minutes away from the motorway that will take you to either of these two kind of major cities, the most kind of famous cities in Scotland. But obviously, with Lanarkshire, there is other teams now. Clearly, Motherwell are the biggest and the most successful club in Lanarkshire. I would say that our biggest rivals are Airdrie. However, Airdrie have been kind of a dwindling in the last 10, 15 years. But we do have Hamilton Accies that are in the SPL. But for me personally, I don't really see it as a massive rivalry other than it being on our doorstep. Probably Hamilton fans have got more of a rival to us because they, I mean, Motherwell have won trophies with, maybe not in a long time, but we still have won them in my lifetime. Played in Europe, we're regularly, I mean, we're on two finals just a couple of years ago. Whereas Hamilton don't have any of that. They don't have a big fan base. I would say the games that probably I personally look forward to is either the Old Firm come to Fir Park, so that being Rangers and Celtic. It just has that kind of special feel about it, and it is really what a Motherwell fan is all about, really. Some of the finest games that we've been to is when you get the unexpected victory, beating Rangers and Celtic, and Motherwell in our time have got some historic victories over them. Kind of most recently, we had a playoff game against Rangers.
Oh, crikey, yeah. Sorry, Scott, we lost you a little bit there for a second. Well, yeah, you reminded me of... Was the playoff game there was the one when Rangers were down in the Scottish Championship and trying to bounce back?
It was phenomenal. That was because I think the whole of the country and the whole of the media had just wrote the game off, that Rangers were back and Motherwell came in and got the victories. And another game that kind of sticks in the mind for the rivalry was a game in Scotland, Helicopter Sunday. All Celtic had to do was come to Fir Park and beat Motherwell, but we beat them with two goals in the last minute for Scott McDonald. Rangers won at Hibs, and it meant that Rangers won the title. So for me, if Airdrie were in the top league, I would definitely be saying that Airdrie were our biggest rivals, but I would have to say I don't get up for Motherwell playing Hamilton as much as I do for when Old Firm.
Yeah, fair enough. Andy's, both of you, do you agree with Scott there that it's the Old Firm that really gets the blood pumping these days?
Not just now, no, because we're obviously not having as good a season as we had last season, for example, when we finished third in the curtailed season. The games against Rangers or Celtic, for me personally, are games that I tend to write off. I expect us to lose, and more often than not, we do. Although, as Scott's alluded to, there's been some games where we've caught them by surprise, and the playoffs are two of the most memorable games that I've ever had supporting Motherwell. I think if you were to ask Scott and Andy, possibly deep down, they expected Motherwell to be relegated over these two games as well. But not only did we go to Ibrox and win for the first time in, I think it was 18 years since we had last won at Ibrox, by the time we had won the first leg of the playoff, we then really kind of put the emphasis on it by beating them 3-0, and just hilarious circumstances as well. We're so used to being bullied by Rangers and Celtic. Now there's buses and buses of supporters that leave a town where there's a Scottish Premiership side. I'm 34 years of age, and Motherwell have always been in the top flight of Scottish football throughout my lifetime, which is a remarkable achievement when you consider it, because there's so many well-established sides in the top flight, teams with far greater resources that have been relegated. You look at the likes of Hearts just now, they're in the Championship. Hibs have spent time there. Rangers, through their misdemeanours, spent a fair bit of time, and so there's a lot of comparisons to other sides who have had real struggles that we can draw and be really satisfied that Motherwell are a top flight side. For me, Airdrie haven't really been much of a problem throughout my life. Hamilton have emerged in the last 10, 15 years or so, and they've got such a great capability of defeating us. It's a real, real annoyance of mine. Now, I would say that they're an irritation, Hamilton. I don't have a hatred for them. But I certainly regard them as a rival, and not only a rival to compete with us time and time again. I think if you were to go back over the last 5 or 6 years, Motherwell single-handedly have given the points to Hamilton that have kept them up in quite a few of these years. So I certainly got up for a game against Hamilton, and even the most recent game, I really fancied it. I really thought that it was a game that we could turn a corner, and it stung to lose as emphatically as we did. So Hamilton, for me, is a it's also a prospect of winning. And while we're not brought up to expect a win every week, it is very nice when you do win, and we've got much better chance of doing that against Hamilton than we do against Celtic or Rangers, that's for sure.
Yeah, just on the, go on then, Scott.
Just on the Hamilton thing, I think that the reason for my rivalry, probably more so with the Rangers and Celtic side of things, probably comes down to the workplace. Hamilton aren't an overly, they've not got loads of supporters. Now, despite them being on our doorstep, I think I only know one or two Hamilton fans, but 90% in my workplace is either Rangers or Celtic, so I think that's probably where I take that rivalry.
I'm hearing this from. I'm hearing this wherever I go. It's they refer to us the two cheeks of Scottish football, but in a number of places. I don't know if it's the same amongst Motherwell fans, but anyhow, right. Question for you, gents. Who's the historian out of you three?
Certainly Andy P.
Andy P. All right then, Andy P.
No pressure.
Well, okay. this is actually going to be a good example, because of all these quizzes that we did over a period of 3 or 4 months, Andy absolutely dominated. And the only one that he didn't win is the one that he actually made up the questions. So...
You're definitely setting me up for a fall here.
you really are. No, I mean, just for us who don't know Motherwell so well, like Andy said, been in the Premier League for all his lifetime. Can you just give us a brief, you know, what Motherwell's history has been, and how, you know, were you regular winners of titles before the old firm have had this dominance over the last 30 years, how long have you been playing in the Premier League, that sort of thing, you know, European sure. experiences, that sort of, yep. just to give us an idea.
No bother. Well, we're one of the few clubs in Scotland where we can make the claim that we've won all the kind of domestic honours available. It took us a while, but we eventually got there with the kind of Scottish Cup 1952. Prior to that, we had won the League Cup the year season before, won that. Prior to that, we're going back and played a pretty historical role. We won the Scottish Championship in 1931-32. And but for Motherwell actually winning that, there would have been a run of something like about 40 years where it was Rangers or Celtic that would have won the title. So it's a fair claim to fame to make in terms of that regard. Can I fast forward into more recent times? We've been since we were promoted in 1984-85 when we won the First Division title. We've been in the top flight ever since. Now, it's not been without incident, and I have to hold our hands up and say that we've been fortunate a couple of times through league reconstruction or a season where we should have been relegated. It was only through Falkirk not being able to secure a ground that met the criteria at the time that we managed to stay up. So there have been a couple of seasons where, you know, we've certainly rode our luck to some extent. Within the kind of modern era, we've last kind of won a trophy of note in 1991 when we won the Scottish Cup. That enabled us to qualify for Europe for the first time, where we played Katowice in the Cup Winners' Cup and started a rather nasty habit of going out in away goals or calamitous exits and what have you. But we've played a number of fixtures in Europe, and this year we made our return for the first time for 5 or 6 seasons when we made it into the Europa League through last season's third place finish. So certainly we're one of the more kind of prominent towns that have achieved a relative success within the Scottish game, both historically and in the current era, as kind of Andy's alluded to. We've kind of held our own in there, whilst pretty much every other side, I think perhaps with the exception of Aberdeen, is kind of out with the, well, even including Rangers, I guess, has kind of spent time in the lower leagues. So it's something to be proud of, and it certainly brings into focus the kind of current difficulties about what the, you know, the issues may lie ahead if we don't start getting back up the table a wee bit.
Oh yeah, definitely. I suppose we should have the Celtic aren't covering themselves in glory at the moment either. But it is for another day. Thanks for that there. Me personally, obviously, I am a little bit of a Groundhopper nerd as well. So I'd love to hear a bit about Fir Park. I'm right. Is it your only stadium you've played at? Andy?
No, there's been a couple in the past, but you're going back, you know, well over a century. There's been a couple. Roman Road was one of them initially.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was another one besides. Name escapes me at the moment, but certainly since I think you're talking something like mid, I don't know whether it was 1880s or 1890s or so, when we kind of moved to Fir Park. We've been there ever since. The stadium was kind of, it kind of found its feet initially. It was awarded the Scotland and Wales kind of British Championship match. And for that to kind of happen, the capacity was significantly raised at the time. And that kind of helped over time kind of bring the club the money that was made in that fixture and subsequent fixtures thereafter, kind of get rid of the debts that were accrued when the club kind of first moved there, and you know they were able to kind of build into the kind of team that would want to challenge for the likes of the, you know, the kind of league title in the kind of 20s and 30s.
Ah, cool. I assume over the last 100 years it's had a lick of paint and you've done it with a bit. It's not still the same sort of stands that were there back then. But do you have any of the new terracing in there, or is it an all seater still? Andy?
We've been all seaters since, when would it be, the kind of the last kind of changes to the ground were made, I think, at the end of 93-94 season, I think, was the last game that we had where there was kind of terracing in the ground. Things kind of changed. We had a kind of and an old style there that stayed until the kind of mid-60s, mm-hmm. where the kind of current day, the kind of main stand, the Philadorno stand, as it's is properly known as now, was kind of built. Thereafter, the stand, now known officially as the John Hunter stand, which is a kind of converted terrace where the kind of more hardcore fans and more boisterous of our support will go. That was kind of converted 1991. A couple of years later, we had the kind of large south stand where the away fans go. That was built, I think it kind of came in, would have been maybe 92, 93, around about then. And then kind of a couple of years later again, we had the north stand, which was named after Davy Cooper, who kind of passed away when it was being built. So that's kind of as it's been since then. You know, wee tweaks and kind of minor changes here and there, a few wee licks of paint and stuff along the way, but pretty much it's one of the more kind of historic grounds. It's one of the most kind of, depending upon your kind of viewpoint, the fact that you get your four stands of different sizes, it's certainly not, you know, kind of identikit kind of style stands as you kind of get modern days. It's as far removed as from the likes of McDermott Park or Paisley as you could possibly imagine. There was a time where kind of ground redevelopment was kind of happening around Fir Park, and you might well have looked around and seen the likes of Airdrie with their old pavilion and their kind of terrace in there, and kind of thought you were a wee bit in the dark ages. But you know, we're at the point now where the Airdrie fans perhaps were in those times, where you you kind of hold dear every year that you get in that stadium, in that kind of atmosphere, old style, as much as it can be within a kind of all-seater environment, knowing that sooner or later the kind of the sands of time are kind of running out, and eventually it's going to be our turn to move into one of those kind of stadiums.
Hopefully not for a long time, though. But if there was any part of the ground you could, I'll go to the other Andy on this one. If there was any part of the ground that you'd recommend for people to go to get the best atmosphere, which section would you say get a ticket for?
I think, as Andy pointed out there, it's the section closest to the away supporters and the John Hunter stand. The point he made as well about the fact that the likes of St Johnstone, Livingston, St Mirren are all in these new, almost Legoland type structures where it's all very similar. It's very clean looking, but I think we go to five or six stadiums a season where we pretty much know there's not going to be any atmosphere. It's not great to go as a spectator, because let's face it, we're all experiencing it. And I know I keep on harping back to the fact of the current moment in time, but I think that maybe is where a lot of our frustrations lie, that we're not being able to follow the team within the stadium. It's a bit soulless in certain grounds, and that's just because of the way that the stadiums have been designed. I'm sure if you have a St Johnstone supporter on, they'd say that they have got groups that try to create an atmosphere. And to be fair, they've got a small group that when they come to Fir Park, they're able to make a bit of a din, but it doesn't really happen at McDermott Park. It's played out, almost kind of feels like a reserve game at times, because you can hear the players shouting and such like. So I think that would be everybody's main concern, that you could strip away some of the soul from the football club if you moved away from Fir Park. That group I refer to as the Well Boys, and they've been there for, it must be going back about 15 years now. And the atmosphere at Fir Park was suffering. It was perhaps a kind of older generation of supporter that had grown out of going along and shouting and singing all the way through the match. But this group have become renowned for backing the team to the hilt, no matter what's going on the park. They've created a kind of new generation of fan culture amongst Motherwell supporters as well. I think there's a lot of younger supporters are attracted to go and support Motherwell because of the colour and the noise that these guys bring. So it's absolutely fantastic. They've also done a hell of a lot of good work in the community as well. So they've done the club proud in a number of occasions, and they have brought the noise and brought the colour back. And it's notable at the end of the season when the players do their lap of honour and thank the supporters. They normally take about double the time to that one particular section of the ground, which could hold no more than 400 or 500 punters. But they clearly resonate, and the support that they have received over the course of a season means so much to the players as well. So hopefully that's something that transfer targets, and I know that they're not going to look at videos on YouTube and say, oh, their fans are good, they make a lot of noise, I'll go and sign for them. But I would like to think that if it was a very similar contract offer on the table, that the support the Motherwell fans give to their own would be something that would attract a player to Motherwell.
Oh, that's good to hear. Scott, obviously Andy then, when he was talking about the stadiums, the stands and that, he mentioned the Phil O'Donnell stand. Just briefly, maybe if you could explain to the listeners about, you know, who Phil O'Donnell was and the sort of the legacy and the impact his life has had for Motherwell Football Club.
Well, Phil O'Donnell was a young guy that broke through to the first team in the 1991 and scored his first goal for Motherwell in the 1991 Scottish Cup final, where a famous commentary line by Ali McCoy was brave as a lion, because he dove through a deal for players to get his head on the ball. He then left Motherwell for Pastures New, meant to Celtic for £1.75 million, which partly funded one of our new stands, which we've just discussed. His career then, he done relatively well at Celtic. And I think it's fair to say when he came back to Motherwell, it was a wee bit kind of a, well, he said a few injuries, is it going to be great? But really, it was inspirational. But unfortunately, Motherwell played Dundee United on the 29th of December. And Phil was on the pitch and passed away and whilst he was playing. It was really, really emotional at the game. When you see a player going down injured, there's a complete difference from knowing there's something wrong to just a player with a bog standard injury. And that day, you just knew there was something not right. I mean, even talking about it just now, the kind of the hairs stand up in the back of your neck, just even thinking about that day. So you don't expect that a young, fit, professional footballer, that's going to happen. After that, the way that the club conducted themselves, Mark McGee was a manager at the time of Motherwell, and don't get me wrong, he'd done great in his first spell at Motherwell. His second spell wasn't so, but one thing that I'll always remember about Mark McGee was the way that he conducted himself and really became a leader. Now, myself and Andy, Ross had done a podcast probably about this time last, maybe not this time last year, maybe about 8 months ago with one of the players that were actually playing on that day, Mark Fitzpatrick. And even listening to him, he still kind of gets emotional about the events of that day. Moving forward, a couple of the games, all the Scottish football card get suspended over the Christmas period, and most notably was a Rangers and Celtic game, rightly so. So our first game back was against Hearts, and I don't think I've ever been as emotional at a football game. One other thing to add in is that Phil actually had his nephew playing with the club, David Clarkson, who went on to play with Scotland, he spells down south, and then actually came back to Motherwell. So that's where the token Uncle Phil came from, because he was David Clarkson's uncle, and a massive influence in him. So we played Hearts in the Cup, and we were getting beat 2-0 at half-time. In the second half, we come back to draw 2-2 each, and I don't think that I've ever felt as almost like relief, but the whole stadium was, it was just total emotion, because it was more than football that day. And going forward, the fans had a massive, again, the Well Boys can get a massive flag with O'Donnell and Ten on the back. And it was just a period of time where we've already mentioned it, about coming together as a kind of community. And it made you realise that football was a massive part of everybody's life. Supporting Motherwell isn't like supporting Rangers and Celtic. You actually get more contact with the players, although you wouldn't class them as friends. There is times where you see them quite often, and Phil was a big part of that kind of community and having him coming back to the club. So obviously it was right that the stand was named after Phil. His performances on the park were inspirational for a guy that was in his latter years. He just looked like the fittest guy in the team. And the words that I say just now really kind of do him tribute. I know that sometimes when people pass away, that it's always good words that said, but genuinely, I've never heard a bad word said about Phil, his professionalism and his dedication toward Motherwell. I was quite lucky recently to be at the Motherwell Hall of Fame, where he was inducted into the Motherwell Hall of Fame, and his family were there. And even at that, you could feel the emotion when his family were up on the stage taking the honour. So for me, when the term club legend gets banned about really easily these days, but for me, Phil O'Donnell is the definition of what a club legend is.
Thank you for that, Scott. I think you summarised there really well. So really do appreciate it.
Yeah, I think that I couldn't put it any better than what Scott did there. But I think that the fact that Phil had kind of came full circle in his career and came back to Fir Park, and Terry Butcher told a story, it kind of brought him back to train with the club. There was no real desire on Motherwell's part to have Phil O'Donnell back to the football club, because what chance would he ever be able to hit the heights that he had in his first spell and that had propelled him on to win the title at Celtic? He then went down south to Sheffield Wednesday. The thing was, though, while he wasn't that full of energy, bursting lung runs midfielder, it just had this footballing brain as well that compensated for his lack of legs, for a better expression. And it was, I don't think any of us that were there that day, the 29th of December 2007, will ever forget those moments inside the ground where the whole place just felt absolutely silent. It was a feeling of worry, and not like any other game as well. I can remember going straight home. I still lived with my parents at the time and only stayed 5 minutes away from Fir Park. But I rushed home because I felt like I had to be near a television or near the news, because it felt like something was happening. And I can remember on the radio, it was reported that he'd been rushed to hospital, but things were looking okay. And then when the devastating news broke, it was so hard to know what to feel. And I think I, like so many, just gravitated towards Fir Park. It felt like the place we had to go and deal with the shock, first and foremost. I don't think, while I think there was a feeling of mourning around the support, I think that the fact that we didn't know Phil personally, we only knew him through his football when he had a young family. It was just, there were so many devastating aspects to it. And it was a player that had galvanised that Motherwell squad that season. And I think it was such a fitting tribute that the team went on and managed to finish third that season, because it just honoured Phil's legacy and his contribution to the football club. His memory will never be forgotten. And Motherwell, alongside consulting his family, have done such a great job of honouring Phil's life and his contribution to Motherwell. It's, you walk in to Fir Park, you'll see pictures of Phil. You've obviously got the main stand renamed the Phil O'Donnell stand. There's a tribute on the side of the stand as well. I think that everybody touched within the football club admired him so much. The tributes after as well, the likes of James McFadden, another club legend, scored for Everton at Middlesbrough a couple of days after Phil passed, and he kissed the armband as he ran away in celebration. I think it was one of those moments again that brought all of Scottish football together, because it was such difficult news to even get your head round, that a man, as Scott said, as fit as Phil was, as well respected as Phil was, could just go like that. I think it's a day that itself that we'll long try and forget. Though certainly Phil O'Donnell will always be associated with Motherwell Football Club, and his legend lives on through Fir Park and every occasion that we visit.
Yes. So thank you for that, gents. Thank you for that. You mentioned earlier, whilst we were talking, about Motherwell being fan-owned. But also, one of the things we talked about, first of all, as well, was how, you know, the club's really sort of connected to the community and all the good work that's gone on, in particularly over the last 12 months. First of all, maybe Scott, you could start us off on this, or Andy, and then Andy B, you could carry on a bit about how the fan ownership of the club works. And then secondly, sort of how that helps, if there are any other examples of how sort of the club interacts with the community on top of what we were talking about earlier, if in case anything's popped up in your head whilst we've been recording this.
Yeah, well, the Welsh Society, as it is known, was something that at first I didn't really see how it was going to work. So basically, Motherwell we'd been in administration, almost liquidation, due to overspending. As our previous owner, John Boyle, a lifetime Motherwell fan, had tried to make his get in the middle of Rangers and Celtic and try and challenge for the league and bought high profile players. It just didn't ever come to it just never worked. Unfortunately, there was exciting signings like John Spencer, Andy Gorham, Don Goodman, well, household names, but for whatever reason it just didn't work at the time. So fast forward onto the Welsh Society, and it was really just an initiative where the Welsh Society got in touch with every fan, every season ticket holder, everybody who'd been through Firth Park, through social media, etc., etc. And it was really a case of pay for what you can afford. There was different kind of bands that you could go in at. Could be a monthly, could be a one-off payment. And I suppose, really, I thought to myself, I mean, pay your season ticket, but I'll give it a go. So I pay what I pay every month. And for that, I mean, for example, it was the AGM recently, and you could, because you're a member, you could send a question into to the AGM, which were brought up to the club's AGM. Now, the most significant thing of that is that fans will sit on the board, and as fans, we decide who goes on it. So if you put your name forward, you can have a vote. And there's a couple of guys that, well, one guy in particular that's been kind of inspirational behind the Well Boys that we've spoken about. And he's also, so he's well known between as Andy P had said earlier on, the hardcore supporter in that each stand. He's a well known face and he represents the fans on that. And I think he does it really, really well. So you do feel part of it. Just going on to something else, so the club kind of do, the Welsh Society do a lot of work in community. Now, unfortunately, within Lanarkshire or in Scotland as a wider community, we've had an issue with mental health, in particular young males committing suicide. Now, between Motherwell Football Club, we've actually got the Suicide Prevention, the Well Boys, and the Well Society. We do a lot of work with it. Unfortunately, had a huge amount of Motherwell fans, and there's actually been a BBC documentary in relation to this where the club were on. Alan Burrows, chief executive of the club, was on. And they're doing loads of different initiatives to try and help combat this problem. It's tragic, the amount of young guys that see this as a way out. I think a recent game, there was a minute's applause for two young fans that had taken their life through whatever difficulties or problems that they had. But as a club, so that's Motherwell Football Club, as the main, the Well Boys and Motherwell Support and the Well Society all come together when facing a problem like this, and we've tried to combat it. For example, there was football tournaments, there was fundraising activities where I think some of the money that was raised through the COVID charity that Andy Peed mentioned earlier on was given to that. So as a club, try to be a part of it, and you do feel that you're a bit closer because of the people that you know that are involved in it. Now, let's not forget something that's slightly different to this. Our chief executive, Alan Burrows, or Flo, that he's commonly known to us, who Andy's interviewed numerous times, is actually a fan. I mean, I remember Alan going to away games and being just one of us. He does get some criticism, but I think he's a breath of fresh air, not just to Scottish football, but to football in general, for the way that he keeps in touch with the fans, the way that he engages with people on social media. If you've got a question and you go to Twitter and ask him, he'll come back to you. So that's another thing about Motherwell being completely focused around the community. Mm-hmm. Alan is one of us, you know what I mean? If he wasn't in the position that he sat in, then he would still be sitting in that stand, and I've got a great admiration for him in the way that he's I wouldn't say single-handedly, but the way that he's kind of gelled the club, and he takes criticism, he takes it on and listens to what the fans have got to say. So overall, when you look at all the different aspects of the club that I've mentioned there, from the fan on the ground to the board, to the Well Society, to the Well Boys, we all kind of, it's like a conduit, we all work together, and it does feel like a community, within a community, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I think you say, you sum it up there really well. It's really good to see. I'll ask you, gents, if you send us some links over when we put the pod out, I'll make sure I attach them in the bio so people can have a look at the work that's going on. Because it seems there's a lot of great things happening there. Andy P, anything you want to add in on that?
Scott's summed it up pretty well, as you say there. It's just a case of the club taking an active approach to, and they kind of constantly say it's not just about the football club, it's about the community. It's like Motherwell's our town, Lanarkshire's our county, and you know, we're there for the kind of people across the county. I mean, I think there was, like, going back to the initial lockdown, you know, it was like something like £25,000-£30,000 worth of the kind of food parcels that were going out, like mobile phone top-ups. You know, going back to some of the stuff that Scott has alluded to, like mental health kind of issues, you know, things to keep people engaged. There was players and staff were involved in phoning some of our older members of the support, the season ticket holders, just for a wee blether, just let them know that there's people thinking of them. You know, there's all sorts of things in there. You know, dementia, you know, Alzheimer's kind of programs with the sport and memories, things like that. You know, the walking football for, you know, fitness and kind of stuff like that. Substance misuse. One of the things that they were doing as well in conjunction with one of the local radio stations here was the kind of Cash for Kids programs, where they were, you know, they were delivering like sort of something like, I think it was about 3,000 children benefited from like hot meals during your school holidays, where they might otherwise have, you know, not have been able to to enjoy something like that. So there's just so many aspects to it, and it's cementing their place within the community, that they can be respected, that people know that there's a helping hand there, that there's the people at the club genuinely care. You know, it's not as simple as we just want your money, your season ticket money, sit there, be quiet. And you know, it's the mirror, the opposite of that. You know, it's about being there for the community, and hopefully the community will recognise that and kind of, going back to what Andy was saying way back early in the podcast about, you know, maybe it will make some of the kind of people think twice about, you know, is this a club that I value being a part of, as opposed to maybe, you know, chasing the success in kind of larger clubs. But you know, what the club do is just totally commendable, and you know, they do great stuff for Motherwell and beyond.
It really is. Well, we've had it's I've got to say, it's been quite a serious conversation so far, with a lot of the topics we've covered. But I do want to make it a slightly more light-hearted now, Andy. I'm going to keep with you. Now, you've been, obviously, you guys have been following the club for a few years now. The people coming up there, they listen to this and they think, right, we all hope the lockdown and the situations come to an end as soon as possible. Where would you tell people, if they were coming to Motherwell for a game, where's the best place to go get a beer, go get a bite to eat before the game, the best place to go to get sort of where the fans congregate before the game to get a good atmosphere and to, you know, get the best experience out of a trip to your club?
Depends whether you want the official line or the kind of club endorsed.
No, we want the unofficial one.
You, You basically get the choice of two on your doorstep in some respects. You've got Club 100 is just basically across from the kind of main offices at Fir Park. Going back, without wanting to bore you with another kind of history lesson, there was a time where that kind of building was, when it was built in the, I think it was either late 70s or early 80s, that there were some bold, ambitious plans to actually connect it to Fir Park. But the kind of financial difficulties that occurred, it was eventually kind of used as like I think it was squash courts and stuff in there at some point. Eventually, they kind of lost control of the kind of building, and it became a kind of the Fir Park Social Club. But in recent years, there's a Well fans kind of taking it over, and it's a popular haunt before and after games. You've also got the kind of Davy Cooper stand in there. There's a lounge in there where a lot of Well fans go prior to games, and away fans are kind of welcomed in there as well on occasion. And that's the kind of two closest points. Beyond that, you're kind of immediately off the kind of train station. If you're coming off from the kind of Glasgow lines, you've got the electric bar, just the Airbus train station, which is only about 10 minutes walk up. And there's a handful of other pubs in the vicinity of the ground anyway, but certainly Club 100 and, you know, the kind of the Cooper Lounge are the two in the immediate doorstep of Fir Park.
Although there is another story kind of about, well, not it is a factual story in relation to Rod Stewart, was recently attending a game, Motherwell Celtic at Fir Park, and he got in touch with one of our kind of more famous fans, Tam Cowan, and asked him where he should go pre-match. So if you're looking for a nice Italian meal, he was directed to De Claudio's, and it kind of get De Claudio's restaurant in Motherwell a fair bit of social media activity. So that was Tam Cowan's recommendation to Rod Stewart spending a night in Motherwell.
You've caught me there. That was a nice one to me. Thanks for that. It's always good to know. I've done it. Sorry, guys. I always do this every now and then. I turn my microphone off and I forget to turn it back on before I start talking. But I was waffling on there for a second. I have to ask you about this because, as I said to you beforehand off air, you know, one of the things I do away from the podcasts is follow the transfer market this window. And there's a guy at Motherwell, I'd just like to get your opinions on him because he seems like he's got a huge career ahead of him. Alan Campbell, your midfielder. I know there's sort of contract issues and stuff. How good is he and how far do you think he's going to go in the game? Can I ask each of you to give us your opinions on him? And Andy Ross, you go first.
No worries. Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt that Alan Campbell's a fantastic talent. He's been the kind of centre point of our side. Now, there's definitely more flashy players than Alan Campbell, but I don't think anyone has worked harder to improve his all-round game than Alan Campbell in the last 2 to 3 seasons. I spoke to Morris Ross, who is one of our first team coaches. At the time, he was the head of youth at the club and he was taking the under-21s or under-20s or reserves or whatever they're called these days side. And he described Alan Campbell as a poster boy for the Motherwell Academy, someone that all the young players should be looking up to. It seemingly, before training, he's the first person in at the club, so he can get some gym work in, to work on his upper body strength. His dedication to the game is second to none. And he's come through with players like David Turnbull, whose abilities are well-renowned, and he's now doing it on a bigger stage, if you will, with Celtic. His time at the club, though, I think is nearing an end. There doesn't seem to be much headway being made in terms of him signing a new deal. Millwall are been strongly linked with his services in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Now, it just really comes down to if there was money on the table just now, would Motherwell accept a bid for Alan Campbell? I'm not so sure. The thing is, in Scotland, as you may or may not know, the clubs will receive a development fee for their players based on how many years of service they've given the football club. Now, Alan Campbell, there's a picture in the ticket office of a variety of age groups of the Motherwell Academy. And Alan Campbell, in that picture, can't be any older than 10 years of age. So we've got quite a few years to cash in on there. And I think he will go, but I think it will be the end of the season. And whoever gets him is going to get a boy that has an attitude that will take him all the way. As I say, there's not one particular thing that I could pinpoint as his strongest attribute. He's a very tidy player. He's strong in the tackle, but it's just the running and the power of work that he'll do just endears himself to the supporters. And I think he's got the ability to go. I'm not going to say all the way. I don't know if there's limits to how far just sheer effort and a decent amount of ability will take you. But I think that if he continues on the trajectory that he has done in the last 3 or 4 years, he'll do very well.
Thanks for that. Scott and Andy P, anything you want to add on the Alan Campbell story?
He's worked great, his effort, everything about him, his professionalism. I think if you compare him to David Turnbull, David Turnbull's a flair. He'll get you the goals, he'll get you the pass. Alan Campbell will do you all the dirty work. Sometimes these are the players that don't get the recognition that they fully deserve. And Alan Campbell, for me, is one of the most tenacious midfielders that I've seen, and he'll give everything to try and succeed. And the thing that I love about him is he actually looks like he really cares. And the fans absolutely love him. He's maybe not had his greatest spell the last few months, now whether that's just been with all the things that have been going on. We've not been performing well. Mm-hmm. There was a great deal of expectation left in him, and he's maybe not been his best, but over the years he's been phenomenal. If he was to stay, he'll be a future club captain. But as Andy rightly said, a guy like Alan Campbell, I don't hold any grudges to where he goes. I think if he goes down south, then brilliant. And he would easily play at an English Championship level. I just hope that he doesn't go to one of our rivals.
Yeah, fingers crossed there. Can I just ask, so is he from Motherwell originally? Or I know he was in the academy, but is he a local boy or does he come from further afield?
I'm not entirely sure to be honest.
He
certainly conducts himself as a player that's got a lot of affection and a lot of time for the club. And you know, Scott has said there, he's been connected with the football club for more than a decade, and you would expect that. Mm-hmm. As the guys have said, I'm kind of intrigued just to see how far he can take his talent. You know, again, as Andy said, he's not going to get you 20 goals a season. He's not the most pacey of players in the world. He's not the most creative, but you know, all of those, he's got a degree of all of those kind of characteristics and abilities that you're looking for in a central midfielder in modern day. And it's just intriguing to see where he ends up, what sort of teammates he's going to be alongside. How can he kind of take his game to the next level? And I kind of fully agree with the guys that there's, you know, his kind of time is running out at Firth Park. You know, he's given us all those years of service. There's, you know, must be somewhere between 100 and 200 games that he's kind of he's kind of played for the club, and he's still in his early 20s as yet. I think he was something like now he's the third most capped kind of Scotland under 21 player. So he's certainly served his apprenticeship and you know way more besides. So it's intriguing now to see just what sort of level of team he goes to. And again, Scott had said, I really hope he can move south or even goes abroad just so he gets that different aspect. You were playing with different players, different tactics, different kind of styles of play, a freshness that might, you know, bring him on again, you know, different coaching techniques, different managers and what have you, facilities, training facilities that can just, you know, keep him developing and building into the player that we, you know, Motherwell fans believe he can be.
I think he only needs to look around him as well to see the likes of John McGinn and Kenny McLean who landed in the English Championship. And it's always a dangerous comparison to say that he's going to go down south and he'll hit the ground running like these guys did. But I think they would have went to Aston Villa and Norwich respectively, and they would have, the fans maybe were a bit sceptical of these guys coming in from Scotland. And, well, look at John McGinn. It's the absolute heartbeat of that Aston Villa side that are enjoying really a fantastic season. So I think that guys like McGinn and McLean, to maybe a slightly lesser extent, have shown that you're not going to get a public player when you delve into the Scottish leagues. These guys can go and they're not just going there to make up the numbers either. They will play regularly and they'll be very good players for these teams.
It's certainly something I've noticed this year when I've been, to say, a lot more involved in Scottish football than perhaps I've done in previous seasons. There's a lot of good young talent, not just at Motherwell, but at other clubs as well. Well, one final one about the club tonight for me. Obviously, we're recording this after, was it Graham Alexander's first game last weekend, Scott? Was I right?
Second game. First game the week before against St Mirren, we drew one each. So 2-1-1 results, but much improved performance.
So I have to ask, you know, what are your hopes? You know, are you seeing signs that sort of the corners turn there with him? Are you optimistic about the appointment?
Well, if you look at Sunday's game against Rangers, we started the game bottom of the league, which hasn't happened for a good few years. So really, this season is only objective for me is to stay in the league, to get relegated. And this year, particularly with COVID and financial uncertainty, would be nothing short of disastrous. So his main objective this season is to stay in the league. Thereafter, Motherwell is a club, top six, and good runs in the cup. And really, anything else other than that, that is a bonus. I see just as well, we've been on this, he's signed another striker, is what we're needing. So certainly there's been improvements. A lot of the players that we're probably being a wee bit critical of, that particularly I was critical of on our podcast, certainly seem to get that new manager bounce. And hopefully that will continue. If you look at these actual first couple few fixtures, St Mirren away, Rangers home and Aberdeen away, it's really quite a difficult start to a managerial career.
Yeah.
And so far, so good. Speaks well. So I'm really quite satisfied and quite happy with his appointment. And we'll see where we go at the end of the season. The only way is up, because if it's any further down, we're really not looking too good at all. But everything seems to be on the up, so let's be positive and hope for his first win against Aberdeen at Pittodrie on Saturday.
Now, fingers crossed for you there, fingers crossed. Right, gents, one question I have to ask, and it's one I ask all my guests. Obviously, being outside of Scotland, it has that added value for people as well. When you, and I assume you all travel to away games and you've been to lots of places, are there any, I'll ask each of you to choose one different one. One stadium that you really look forward to visiting. It can be a league a team in the league, or it could be a team you hope to get in the cup because you're really excited to go there for an away day. Which away day sort of stands out for you in the league? Shall I go to you, Andy Ross first.
Yeah, I possibly will actually share the same one as the rest of the guys. But for me, Tynecastle is the best stadium in Scotland to visit as a travelling fan. It's
okay.
Like Firth Park, it's very close to the pitch. The home fans can basically reach out and touch the visiting players when they're taking a throw-in. They know how to make a noise. Not always a positive noise. I think there have been a few occasions where you go ahead at Tynecastle and you noticeably see that the home fans are rocked. And it can be we've had some great moments. Motherwell qualified for the Champions League following the season that Rangers were demoted. Mm-hmm. And we clinched that in a midweek game at Tynecastle. It was just magic. And we've had some pretty good performances at Tynecastle in the last maybe 10 years. Some really bad ones as well, but it's a cracking day out. Edinburgh's a bit of a novelty for most of us. And yeah, we tend to make the most of it. And it's an early train and then a very late train home.
Brilliant. Andy P, over to you.
And repeat. No, if you're, first choice, if you're talking your average kind of league games and stuff, then exactly as Andy says, it's you're talking like 45 minutes through in the train, dead easy to get to, generally take a decent support up there, good atmosphere, some good results then. If you're looking for something a bit different, I think possibly older Motherwell fans, the kind of the game that we're all waiting for in the kind of cups is Montrose away.
Oh, right.
I think you'll have lots of Motherwell fans. Well, obviously there's been some new teams have kind of come into the leagues in recent years, but you know we kind of a lot of people were waiting in Stranraer, and we kind of got them, and I think it was 2002. Finally knocked them off. They were one of the teams that we hadn't played for ages, but the kind of big one for a lot of people is Montrose. I think you're going back to something like maybe something like 1969 or something is the last time, 69, wow. 70, 68, 69, something like that anyway. You know, our kind of last stint in the old second division, as it were, I think it was. So that's the kind of one that I think all your kind of oldies are desperately hoping for.
Oh, that's a good one. Good shout there. Scott, over to you.
For me, I also enjoy going to Edinburgh. But Andy P just...
Sorry, Scott, we're losing you there, mate.
Sorry, is that better now?
Yeah, it is.
I always long to draw Airdrie in the cup, as I've already alluded to earlier on in the podcast. I can't remember the exact year that we went to the cup. We beat them. Morris Malpass was a manager, so we weren't playing too well. So there's always a wee bit of a worry. But what I love about it is just that you see there's obviously some rivalries for when Airdrie were up there. The football dads, I'm one myself now, but maybe it'll be the football granddads, we'll call it, all come out with their old rivalries, trying to get a wee bit of shouting and swearing at each other in the stadium. You can feel the tension, and there's Airdrie have got that kind of a total willingness to try and claim a scalp in Motherwell. But probably the fighting post and pre-match is equally as... entertaining, not that I get involved in that, but you see some skirmishes and a wee bit of kind of football rivalry, we'll call it. And I would love to maybe not get involved in the fighting stuff, but I would like to take my wee boy who I love taking to the football, just for him to see a proper kind of Lanarkshire derby that will bring that wee bit of fight and determination back into it.
That's a good one. Thanks for that. Well, gents, I really appreciate the time you've given me tonight. It's been great to sort of hear the Motherwell story. It's been a great story to share with everyone. for people listening, if they want to get in touch with you to chat a bit more about, you know, Motherwell and Scottish football in general, are there any social media addresses you can share with them to contact you on? Andy P, over to you, first of all, with that.
Probably just the podcast is a kind of main one. Mm. Andy will fill you in and kind of details there, but you can find us in kind of Twitter. Other than that, you get Steelmen Online is probably the kind of key kind of forum.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I'll come to Andy Ross last then for those details. Scott, over to you. Any ones you want to add for people to get in touch with?
No, it's really just as Andy said, just through the two main channels. Marking a profile on social media is all around my charity, which is another story. We're meant to be going over to Zambia to distribute football strips, but that's been put in the back burner until this is out the road. But the main thing for the Motherwell side of things is really through Andy and mm-hmm. on the podcast.
So Andy, over to you, so you can share the podcast addresses with people so they can find you.
Yeah, you can find us at mfcpodcast.co.uk and mfcpodcast86 on Twitter. The one thing I'll say, I think maybe it can get to the point where people are listening and maybe shouting at their mobile phone or their Alexa or whatever they're listening to the podcast through. Especially at these times, if you fancy coming on and arguing with us, then please do. We're more than welcome that. We've been quite lucky to build up friendships with fans of other clubs as well. And it's nice getting a different perspective at times. For me, it's really enjoyable coming on things like this. And mm-hmm. I have been lucky in the last even 5 or 6 months to do quite a few guest things and various things. I think we all really enjoy it. We've got that common interest and that being football, and it's, let's be honest, what else are you going to do? So let's pass the time and all.
It's
very enjoyable.
Definitely.
And I'm sorry as well, I was laughing at the fact you said it's maybe been a bit serious to this point. Now, Pepe Scott has a wee bit of a knack for being slightly glass half full in his approach to Motherwell. But last week, I think he fell off his bike and bumped his head and has become the most positive Motherwell fan that there ever has been. And even when he was talking about Graham Alexander's start, I think deep down he thinks we're going to qualify for Europe and win the Scottish Cup.
Well, I say, fingers crossed. It's a long road ahead. But I was cheering you on last weekend in that game against Rangers as well. So it was a great start. Good luck this weekend up at Pittodrie. It's Aberdeen aren't in the best form at the moment, so fingers crossed for a positive result there. But that's it for tonight, everyone. Say thank you, everyone at home, for listening. Without you, so it would just be me with these three gents having a chat about Motherwell, but you guys have listened in as well, so thanks for that. Till next time, I have no idea where I'll be next. But I hope you'll join me again for another episode of the Welcome to Scotland series. Till then, take care and stay safe. Bye-bye for now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.